Open your King James Bible, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11, for study number 113 today, please. This 15-minute audio Bible study commentary is titled 1 Timothy Study 113-Blessed-2. Our text verse is found once again in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Let us pray. Father, we thank you today for the privilege of being able to call upon your name. Give us wisdom and understanding of thy word. Help us, Lord, to rightly divide it as we stand and preach before this microphone today. I pray that the touch of God would be upon our lips, our heart, our mind, and our soul, that we might be able to declare the whole counsel of God, that we'd not waver, but Lord, we'd give it all and preach it all, and Lord, not back up on anything, just stand for it, stand by. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now this will be study number 113. And it will be the 14th study on this verse 11 of the first chapter of 1 Timothy. We'll title this study today, Blessed or Blessed-2. We want to continue on in our study on this word blessed. We'll look at several words in this set of studies, such as bless, blessed, blessing, and blessings. The word bless is mentioned 117 times in the Bible. It's recorded 108 times in the Old Testament and 9 times in the New Testament. The word blessed is mentioned 287 times in the Bible, with 204 times in the Old Testament and 83 times in the New Testament. The word blessing is recorded 64 times in the Bible, with 52 times in the Old Testament and 12 times in the New Testament. The word blessings is recorded 9 times in the Bible, with 8 times in the Old Testament and 1 time in the New Testament. From this, we can draw the conclusion that the word blessed, amen, is a great word, and it comes out of the blessed book of God, amen, and we appreciate it. God's blessings are unlimited. Let us remember the old song of years gone by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. If we did, of course, we'd never get them all named. What a blessed God we have that just keeps blessing us all the day long, every day, and every moment of our lives. I want to take a time right now to sum up where we are in the study on 1 Timothy. We've had a total of 112 lessons. Now, we're just at verse number 11 of the first chapter. We have studied a lot of words in these studies. We hope and trust that they have encouraged and inspired you to study the Word of God with more vigor and enthusiasm than you've ever had. We have pointed out the punctuation in these verses from time to time. In these verses, up through 11, we find that verse 1 and 2 compose the first completed sentence because verse 1 ends with a semicolon, and therefore is continued on in verse 2, which ends in a period making the first verse sentence. Verses 3 and 4 make up the second sentence. Verse 3 ends with a comma and therefore continues on. It's connected to verse number 4, which ends with a period at the end of the verse. Verses 5, 6, and 7 compose the third sentence, with verse 5 ending with a colon and verse 6 ends with a semicolon. These verses continue on into verse 7, which ends with a period. Verse 8, 9, 10, and 11, that's where we're at today in verse 11, make up the fourth sentence. Verse 8 ends with a semicolon. Verse 9 ends with a comma. Verse 10 ends with a semicolon. And verse 11, which is the verse we're on here, ends with a period. So this verse 11 is a continuation of the past three verses. We need to remember the subject these verses are talking about, or we'll be confused to what Paul is telling us. Paul is telling us that the law is good if it is used lawfully according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which had been committed to his trust. He's teaching us that the law is for the unrighteous man, to bring him to the gospel and show him he's a sinner. The law has never saved, and it can never save anyone. The law is the schoolmaster, as is pointed out in the book of Galatians, to bring sinners to Christ. Keep in mind as we continue on with this word blessed in this study. So we're only on the fourth sentence of the first chapter of 1 Timothy. And I want to just bear that in mind. And Paul's still talking about the law. Remember, he sent out a charge, and now he's given this, and the people were confused about the law. Now, we have this description of the blessed man in the first chapter of the book of Psalms. We're going to continue that word blessed. The blessed man walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Amen. The blessed man stands not in the way of sinners. The blessed man, he sits not in the seat of the scornful, as we see in Psalms chapter 1 in verse number 1. The Bible said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. If we look a little further down into this verse, we see that this same blessed man is a planted man by the rivers of the living water. He's not a wild tree. He's been planted by the hand of God himself. He also is a prosperous man, because the Bible talks about him bearing fruit in his season, and we're bearing fruit for the Lord. God wants to bless us and make us all blessed men and women for his glory. Now we'll give you another reference of the word blessed found in the Word of God. Brother, these references will cover a multitude of subjects and a multitude of thoughts. We find that God blessed old Job, who suffered much for the Lord. The devil is admitting that God has blessed Job, the work of his hands and his substance. Because in Job chapter 1 in verse number 10, here's what it said, hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. So that Satan himself recognized that the blessings of God were upon certain men. Now you remember Job was a man who feared God and eschewed evil. He hated sin. He hated evil. And he was a godly man. The Bible said he is a perfect and upright man. He was mature in his heart, and he'd done right. Now we also find that the blessed man is one whose transgression is forgiven and his sin is covered. Transgressions are iniquities or sins that we have committed. Every one of us who have been forgiven of our sins are blessed. I say thank God and hallelujah. I'm glad my sins are gone. We're no longer ungodly sinners. We've been washed in the blood of Christ, and our sins are gone. Psalms chapter 32 in verses 1 and 2 says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is a man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When God looks on our heart today, friend, if we've been saved, I want you to know he sees the blood of Christ, which has been applied to our heart. He does not see our sins or our transgressions. He sees the blood of Christ and the cleansing and the absence of sin. He then says to us, as he did to the woman taken in the very act of adultery in John chapter 8, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. Now the nation whose God is the Lord is a blessed nation, according to the Word of God. In a day when we see so many agnostics and atheists and infidels in our land, it troubles our heart that our nation has denied, has forsaken, and has forgotten the Lord. Thank God he gives us a blessed promise in Psalm chapter 33 and verse 12. He said, blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Every nation has recognized God as the creator of the earth and the redemption of mankind have been blessed. They've been used, and that nation's been exalted among all nations. Every nation that has dishonored God, that has mocked God, made fun of God, and rejected God has been brought down, and many have been destroyed already and are taken, many of them, into bondage by other nations. Many are living under bondage today. Now, we're given a description of another who's blessed in the Word of God. It's the individual who considers the poor in his poverty. Much could be said about this subject and the others, amen, that we have mentioned. But we just want to remind you of what God is telling us. Look in Psalm chapter 41, verse 1 and 2. The Lord said, "Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. And he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him under the will of his enemies." You see, God gives us another interesting verse on this same subject in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 17. God says, "But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" You see, God's telling us here that if we have the ability and the resources to help somebody, and we refuse to do so, then that's a bad testimony and not a good testimony. And it don't show the love of God in our heart. Brother, I'll tell you, if we love, amen, we'll try to help those around us. Now, we're told that we're blessed if we keep judgment, which is talking about the Word of God and the commandments of God. If we keep those, hold to them, and live by the Word of God, we will be blessed. The Bible is to dictate our every step. It's to dictate our every thought. And it's to dictate our every action we take and do. We're also told that the blessed man or woman is the one who does righteousness at all times. Notice he did not say sometimes or every now and then, but he said do righteousness at all times. Righteousness is simply right living, or living right, or living according to the commandments of the Word of God. This is seen in Psalm 106 and verse number 3. God said, "Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteous at all times." Amen. Now, it's a 24/7 job, and it'll take the Holy Ghost of God and the Spirit of God to help us do it. Now, we're given several promises in Psalm chapter 112, verses 1 through 3. "Praise ye the Lord," he says. "Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall," amen, "be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever." First, the blessed man is one that fears God, according to this verse. Second, the blessed man is one that delights in the commandments or the Word of God. Third, the blessed man's family will be blessed and shall be mighty upon the earth. Fourth, the generation of the blessed man is blessed. Fifth, the blessed man will have riches and wealth. In other words, he will be prosperous and his needs will be met. Sixth, his righteousness will endure forever, and he will have eternal life in heaven, thank God. Now, there are some other promises to the blessed man in Psalm 119, verses 1 through 3. He said, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways." God says the blessed man and woman are those who are undefiled in the way. These are those who do not allow those around them that are living wicked or unconcerned to rub off on them, so to speak. They separate themselves from those who do not glorify and lift the Lord. These are those of today who walk in the laws of God and allow the Word of God to dictate to their lifestyle and their habits. They keep the laws of God and seek God on a constant basis. with their whole and complete heart. They desire the presence of God daily and are not comfortable unless they feel His presence and the tug of God in their heart. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I trust that this study today, number 113, has helped to inform you and helped you in your spiritual life. For additional information on what we are doing with these studies, please contact us at kjv1611@windstream.net. May God bless you. My prayer to you is that God will bless you all the day long. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.